MZTV.
Greetings, everyone. Martin Zender here, having to report, regretfully having to report, that another teacher has bitten the dust and has gone to the dark side of teaching that Jesus Christ did not pre-exist his birth in Bethlehem. Richard Golko, a good friend, a solid teacher, except for this, making amateurish interpretation mistakes, which I will detail for you today. It's not that hard. You will see it clearly by the time I'm done here. And I hate to have to do this, but another one bites the dust. Unfortunately, Richard Golko, Faith Igniter, has joined the ranks of Peter May, Aaron Welch, and Clyde Pilkington in teaching, actively teaching, that nothing came into being through Jesus Christ. He is not the firstborn of all creation. He did not exist before Abraham. He did not have a glory with the Father before the world was. He did not come to be in fashion as a human, straining, twisting scriptures left and right in order to demean, no, to take away one of Christ's greatest glories, which is emptying himself of the glory he had with the Father before the world was, and coming to be in fashion as a human. Paul's scriptures are so plain on this, and if anyone is actually seeking the truth with an open mind and looking into the scriptures on this topic, you can't but see the truth of the pre-existence of Christ, the firstborn of all creation, God's creative original, through whom all things came into existence. 1 Corinthians 8:6, all is out of God, all is through Christ. Not one thing that came into being apart from Christ. He even created the eons, Hebrews chapter 1. I mean, these are just the verses off the top of my head. And for some reason, it doesn't bother any of these people that they don't have a single verse to prove their point. I think the last time we checked, we have 26 verses that prove Jesus Christ existed before he came out of his mommy's womb in Bethlehem. But they want to make him, for some reason, they want to make him just like us. It's dark. It's terrible. And I am going to, once again, have to expose it because another teacher has raised himself up to actively deny, again, one of Christ's greatest glories. And I hope, because Richard is a good man, and so I hope that he will see the error of his ways that I'm going to point out today and come to the right side of this, because any teacher holding this view is going to be mortified and humiliated and ashamed at the dais of Christ. They will be saved, yet as through fire, because the fire is going to burn this evil teaching to ashes. Richard goes to Matthew. Verse 1, the scroll of the lineage of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. This should show you something right off the bat, that this is detailing his life in the flesh. What doesn't it say here? Son of God. You have to go to Paul to see the big picture, to see the secret of Christ, to see how great his glories are. To be restricted to Matthew or to Luke, or to take the word conceived, and this is the word I'm going to be looking at, the Greek word solombano, the English elements are together get. It was translated like four different ways in the Concordant version, which is shameful. It means to get. That's all it means. But Mr. Golko is insisting that the word translated conceived, solombano, requires sperm. This is absurd. It does not require sperm. This word, it's a generic word and it's context dependent, like every other word. We don't go to scientific manuals to see what the word conceive means, because even conceive is a bad translation. Across the line, it should be get. That's the word in the Greek. I'm looking at the scriptures. I'm looking at the Greek word. I'm not going to scientific manuals. I'm not going to dictionaries. Going to the scriptures. So right off the bat, Matthew is detailing for us the lineage of Jesus Christ. But in fact, if you go to the end of this, it's the lineage of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is termed Christ. This is the lineage of Joseph. It's the lineage of Christ, only in that we are proving that his father was of the lineage of David and of Abraham. But this is completely Christ according to flesh. And you could make much about the generation. You can say, well, this is the generation of Jesus. This is the generation of Jesus as the son of David and the son of Abraham. This is not the generation of Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the first being created by God, and through Christ, God created everything else. That is the simple. I've gone through these verses before. You can look at my old videos on this. I've gone through this exhaustively, so today I'm just going to hone in on Mr. Golko's incredible insistence, really unbelievable insistence, embarrassing insistence that sperm was absolutely necessary for the birth of Jesus. Where do you get that? I'm going to show you where he gets it. Let's go to Luke. And the messenger said to her, to Miriam, I am in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Fear not, Miriam, for you found favor with God. And lo, you shall be conceiving. Okay, let's assume that this is a good translation. It's not, and I'm going to prove that to you shortly. And be pregnant, and be bringing forth a son. And you shall be calling his name Jesus. I'm in verse 31, Luke chapter 1. He shall be great, the Son of the Most High shall he be called. And the Lord God shall be giving him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the eons. And of his kingdom there shall be no consummation. And in verse 34, Miriam asks a great question. She puts up an objection. How shall this be? If you want to know how Jesus Christ was generated, here is the simple answer. We're in the scriptures, and we're going to read it for what it says, and we're not going to import any scientific manuals or Webster's dictionaries here. How shall this be, since I know not a man? And answering, the messenger said to her, Holy Spirit shall be coming on you, and the power of the Most High shall be overshadowing you. Wherefore also the Holy One who is being generated, being created in your womb, not absolutely created, but being generated as the Son of David, as the Son of Abraham, shall be called the Son of God. Let me ask you this, to all honest seekers of the truth. Do you read anything here about sperm? And yet, if you watch Richard Golko's videos, if you hear him speak on this, he insists that it was a divine sperm, a God's sperm, special sperm that created Christ. Where do you read that here? You don't. The Holy Spirit shall be coming on you. The same Holy Spirit that came on the 12 apostles in the upper room. That Holy Spirit. It seems to me that there were tongues of fire that appeared over their heads. I don't know, but maybe we should look at another version. Maybe it was little sperm. Maybe a little sperm came up over their heads. And that's what caused them to understand. No, it was the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God. Jesus Christ was generated by the power of God. Why these men are straining to insist that Jesus was one of us, just like us. He was just like us, don't you know? No, he was not just like us. We couldn't have been saved by someone who was just like us. This is so primitively simple. And it takes really either poor, really, really poor interpretive skills or conniving. And I'm not accusing Richard of conniving. I'm not saying he's trying to do something devious here. It's just poor interpretation skills by insisting that the word conception has to involve sperm. It does not. And again, why do I even have to make this video? It's unbelievable to me that I even have to make this video. And yet, here we go. Sulambano is the word translated conceiving in verse 31 of Luke chapter 1. And also, it's used in verse 36 when Gabriel, the messenger, says to Mary, after telling her he was being generated, shall be called the Son of God. And lo, Elizabeth, this is verse 36, Elizabeth, your relative, she also has conceived a son in her decrepitude. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, seeing that it will not be impossible with God to fulfill his every declaration. Do we have any indication here that the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth? No, as in the case of Abraham and Sarah, two decrepit individuals, they were invigorated and they had their son Isaac by natural means, sperm and an egg. It was just the empowering of God that caused an egg to be disrupted, is the actual word that is used in the scripture, from Sarah's ovary, and caused a sperm to emerge from Abraham's, invigorated member. And that's how Isaac was produced. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not produced with a sperm. Prove it, Martin. Well, it's quite simple. Let's just go to other contexts where this word sulambano is used, translated conceive in the concordant version. In Matthew 26:55, the soldiers apprehended Jesus. Unaccountably, the concordant version translates that word sulambano apprehended here, but the definition of the word doesn't change. The English elements are together get. They got Jesus. They got him. And when Herod arrests Peter in Acts 12:3, it's the same word, sulambano. They got him. When the disciples catch the draught of fish, they got the fish, Luke 5:9. Concordant says they took the fish. But the word doesn't change. This word is a generic word. It can be applied to an arrest. It can be applied to getting fish. It can be applied to a woman getting a baby. And this is exactly what this word should be translated in Luke chapter 1. In fact, let's go back to Luke chapter 1 and apply it. I love doing this because this is the scriptural way to find out what words mean. And you can't even depend on the translation. You have to do the legwork yourself. And that's what I even have to do in the Concordant version. I always check up on them. I do the legwork myself. I do the research. I look at the word in every context. It's context that determines meaning. And lo, you shall be getting. You shall be getting and be pregnant and be bringing forth a son. You will be getting this son. Concordance says conceiving. Richard sees that word conceiving, starts looking it up in dictionaries and seeing the modern application of it. Well, when anyone conceives a child, it has to involve sperm. With every other case except one, that's true. Every other case except one. Well, how do you know this is an exception? Because God said through Luke that it was by Holy Spirit. It was by Holy Spirit that Miriam conceived. That is, got. She got a baby. Oh, who else got a baby? Elizabeth got a baby. She conceived a baby, but with her, it was different. If you go down to verse 36, it doesn't say that your relative Elizabeth has also conceived, and it was also by Holy Spirit. No, our Lord Jesus Christ was not like us in that he did not have an earthly father. That is, an earthly father did not impregnate the mother. Well, Richard's not saying that the father impregnated the mother. He says, he's insisting, Richard is, that God impregnated Miriam. Well, that's true, but not via sperm. My goodness, why do I even have to make this video? The Holy Spirit came upon her. It says it right there. Richard insists that whenever you see this word conceived, that has to do with sperm. Really? Well, I see this same word in the arrest of Jesus Christ. Was there any sperm there? Did one of the soldiers say, I got a rope? Another one said, I got a torch. And another one said, I got the sperm. That's what we would expect if we're to believe Richard's insistence that this word must be accompanied by sperm. When the disciples got the fish into the boat, did one of the disciples say, I got the net? Another one said, I got the hooks. Another one said, I got the sperm. Absurd. But that's how absurd this interpretation is. It's that foolish. And I'm not saying that Richard, as a man, is foolish. He has some great teachings. He's a friend of mine. I love him like I love these other brothers. But they have gone off the reservation on this matter. And I don't know why. Well, I used to call them, and I still call them, Tories. Anyone who discounts the great spiritual history of Christ as the firstborn of all creation, they're desperately trying to disprove the Trinity. And they think that in order to help disprove the Trinity, we have to take away the preexistence of Christ. As I've said before, that is absolutely not necessary, not essential to disproving the Trinity. You can do that without bringing in this terrible, evil teaching, taking away Christ's glory of emptying himself. That is not necessary. In fact, I have more respect for the Trinitarians than I do for these gentlemen on this teaching. At least the Trinitarians are twisting Scripture to try to promote Christ to a greater glory than even he claimed to have. The Trinitarians are trying to make him God when he said clearly, I am the Son of God. I came out from the Father. I come to do the Father's will. These men are doing the same kind of twisting of Scripture, the same desperate reaches, the same misapprehension of contexts. But they're doing it to demote Christ. They're doing it to take one of his glories away. And in this, I have more respect for the Trinitarians. I'm not saying the Trinity is a true teaching. It's a false teaching. But the motive is to give Christ more glory. The motive here is to take glory away and to say he's just like you and me. I can hardly wrap my head around that, that mature men of the faith are teaching such a thing. And going to Matthew, going to Luke, going to accounts that were written to the Jews who, to whom it was very important that you prove lineage, genealogy, because they're looking at Christ only according to flesh. And this view of Christ, it's not even what the Jews were doing. It's worse than that, because they're saying he's only flesh. That's what they're saying, the Tories. Trinity overreactors. That's why I call them the Tories. T-O-R. Trinity overreactors, or overreacting to the Trinity. By saying Jesus Christ didn't pre-exist at all, so he can't be God. But the Tories are saying that he's only a man. In fact, but he's the go-between between God and man. He's not 100% God. He's not 100% man. He's a go-between. He's the mediator between God and mankind, to use a scriptural phrase, which you will find me doing on this topic over and over again, on every topic. Peter May has actually said that Jesus Christ was 0% divine, and that's what Richard Golko also believes. Come to find out, 0% divine. Came via sperm like everybody else. I'm not saying he wasn't a human being. I'm just saying he was a divinely generated human being. Sulambano is a generic word. It's context dependent. As I said, just like the word ecclesia. Richard saying that this word translated in this instance, conceive, has to have sperm involved. It's like saying that the word ecclesia, because it's used often of the body of Christ, of believers, of Israel in the wilderness, that therefore in every instance it has to involve believers. But we know this is not true. In Acts 19, the word ecclesia is used to describe a riot of silversmiths. You have to look at the context. It's a generic word, ecclesia. It just means called out, outcalled, people who are called out. The body of Christ is called out, yes. Israel in the wilderness was called out by God, yes. And the riot of silversmiths, they were called out from the general population to start a riot protesting against Paul. That was called an ecclesia. So just because we have a word that in one place is translated conceive, and because it has to do with women getting babies, one has to make the assumption, and that's what this is. One has to make, this is what Richard is doing, one has to make the assumption that what we have to be talking about sperm here. Already? Really? Oh, really? We do? Well, let's go to other contexts where the same word appears. Again, let's go to Acts 12:3. Herod gets Peter. Let's go to Luke 5:9. The disciples get the fish. Let's go to Matthew 26:55. The Jews get Jesus. Is there sperm involved in the arrest of Jesus? Is there sperm involved in the arrest of Peter? Is there sperm involved in the getting of the fish into the boat? Scriptural context and the meaning of this generic word proves that Richard Golko's contention that the word translated conceived, which it should have been translated get, they got, you will get a child. Elizabeth got a child, you get a child. But they're getting their child by different means. Miriam is getting her child by a different means than Elizabeth is. Well, because this word is used, must be sperm involved. That's ridiculous. It's illogical. It doesn't follow. It's a non sequitur. And it's a terrible interpretation mistake. And it's leading to this false teaching. And if anyone plans on coming to the conference in May in Kansas City, I will assure you of this. You will not spend your hard-earned money
to come to this conference and have to hear one teaching on this, on the non-preexistence of Christ. I make it a stipulation for going to a conference. When I'm invited to a conference, I say, I'll be happy to come, but you have to put me in charge of the speakers. And they do. And I do that for a reason. Because I'm not going to have anybody waste your time. Nobody is saying that they're going to teach on this. But if I got wind that they were, I would shut it down. No, I'm not an equal opportunity employer when it comes to conferences. I mean, I might as well invite people who are going to teach on eternal torment. It's about as bad as that. I think you would be quite upset if you came to a conference, a concordant conference, spent a lot of money, and I had a speaker speaking for an hour on why eternal torment is true. Do you think I would do that to you? I'm not going to do this to you either. I'm not saying that Richard's not going to speak at the conference, but I'm saying he's not going to speak on this. I'll tell you that much. I'll make sure of that. On the other hand, I may have people speak on the preexistence of Christ because that's the truth. Well, Martin, we want to see it debated. Well, no, it's not going to be debated at a conference. You can debate it online. You can go to different channels and you can hear this debated ad nauseum. I hate to even give credence to the theory. I hate to even acknowledge that it needs to be addressed, but apparently it does. It's like a virus that gets certain people. I don't know how it gets them, but it gets them. And I'm hoping, and I'll share this with you. I heard through the grapevine that Richard was making videos. It was Manfred that told me that Richard Golko was starting to make videos, and Manfred said, sounds kind of like he's going towards this non-preexistence. I said, tell me it ain't so, Manfred. He said, yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. I said, well, let's call him. So Manfred and I were eating breakfast, and after breakfast, we went to my car, and I called Richard Golko up. I go to the horse's mouth. What's this I hear, Richard? Oh, first, of course, hi, how you doing? Friendly greeting, and then boom. Like Galatians, I get right to the point. What's this I hear? Well, I'm just going through this. By the time I get to the end of the series, you'll know. I said, no, I don't want to get to the end of the series. Just tell me what you believe. Do you actually believe that Jesus Christ did not exist until he was born in Bethlehem? Well, and he wouldn't answer the question directly. I said, well, why is he being cagey with me? Why? He was almost acting as though, well, I'll find out. I'm just looking into it. And when I get done with this study, I'll find out. But no, that's not how it works. Nobody with an open mind goes into a study on this topic and comes out with Jesus Christ didn't pre-exist. Nobody. You have to have a preconceived conclusion. You have to have already decided the conclusion. And this is what Richard did. He already decided the conclusion. And then he just got up some studies to support his preconceived conclusion. And I begged him not to do it. I said, Richard, please don't go the distance on this. Don't come out and say it. You're going to regret it. It's going to be terrible. It's awful. This is one of the worst teachings I've ever heard. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. Well, Richard did not take my advice. He's not required to take my advice, but I thought I was doing him a favor giving him that advice. So it's not on me.
Why are we going back to recognizing Christ according to flesh when Paul reveals for us the secret of Christ? Paul reveals to us the big picture. We get these great truths from Paul, the firstborn of all creation, through whom all things exist and cohere. All is out of God and through Christ. Did I mention he's the firstborn of all creation? Paul raises the viewpoint. The Jews of the Old Testament had a limited view of the coming Messiah. And even in the Greek scriptures, even in the New Testament, we are seeing Jesus according to flesh. And yet, even in the circumcision gospels, even in Matthew and Luke, we're given the incredible revelation that he was generated by Holy Spirit. This was his generation as a human being, not his generation as the Son of God. And it plainly states that in the passage where Richard emphasizes, Matthew chapter 1. This is his generation as the son of Abraham, son of David. It says it right at the beginning. And where's the big proof in the word generation? He's being generated as a human being. You have to go to Paul to understand that he emptied himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. Now, in Matthew and Luke, he's coming to be in fashion as a human. He's being generated with arms and legs like us. He was like us in many ways, but in one important way, he was not like us. And this is the glory, this is the difference that Richard and these other people are taking away. He was generated by Holy Spirit, not by sperm, not even by a divine sperm. They got to get sperm in there. Why? They have to get the sperm in there. They have to make him like us. What's the compulsion to do that? What is the compulsion to demean the nature of Christ, to take away one of his greatest glories, again, which is coming to be in fashion as a human, giving up, just like Moses did, gave up being called son of Pharaoh's daughter to suffer with his people. Adam, understanding what his wife had done, gave up his freedom, partook of the fruit to be with her. And Christ is the model for that. He gave up his divine glory, the glory he had with the Father before the world was, quoting scripture there, to come to be in fashion as a human. He humbled, he emptied himself and then humbled himself on the cross. It was a two-part emptying in Philippians. He emptied himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. You can't empty yourself if you don't exist. Why do I have to say this? But I do. And so Paul lifts the veil. Paul knows Christ no longer according to flesh. We see him as the glorified Son of God. Why are we going to Matthew? Why are we going to Luke? But even in Matthew and Luke, we get a truth that is being decimated by Richard Golko. I love Richard Golko. He's a good teacher up until now. But when people make serious mistakes like this, I kind of like, I kind of lose my confidence. But I don't want you to lose your confidence in Christ as the glorified Son of God, the firstborn of all creation, through whom all things exist and cohere. And nothing that is made was not made through Christ. What a humbling, what an emptying. Don't let anyone take that away from you.